Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss how to make baby food that will contribute to an infant's health and longevity. Our featured guest is Dr. Lisa Berengoo, Ph.D. Dr. Berengoo is the creator and author of Real Smart Baby Food, a cutting-edge system and comprehensive baby food plan and resource that every parent should be aware of. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, sweet drinks are linked to a higher risk of young kids overweight. United States children ages 4 and 5 who drink one or more sugar-sweetened beverages a day are more likely to be overweight or obese, researchers say. Scientists at the University of Virginia, Charlottesville, and at Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University in New York found children ages 4 and 5 who drank sugar-sweetened beverages were not only heavier, they were more likely to watch more than 2 hours of television daily. Pediatricians and parents should discourage sugar-sweetened beverages consumption to help avoid potential unhealthy weight gain in young children, the researchers wrote in the study. From a public health standpoint, strong consideration should be made toward public policy changes leading to decreases in sugar-sweetened beverage consumption among children. The findings were published in the journal Pediatrics. Well, pregnant women eat foods containing toxins that can hurt a baby. Many pregnant women consume tuna, salmon, canned food, tapped water, caffeine, and alcohol-containing substances known to cause birth defects, U.S. researchers say. Using a food questionnaire, participants in a study reported how often and when during their pregnancy they ingested certain foods, beverages, and medications. The study published in Nutrition Journal found about three-quarters of the study participants ate fish, typically tuna, tilapia, and salmon, and three-fourths ate canned goods, 12% consumed tap water, 80% consumed caffeinated beverages, and about 6% reported drinking alcohol sometime during their pregnancy. Most reported taking prenatal vitamins, nearly half reported taking an over-the-counter medication, primarily acetaminophen, and at least once or most reported taking prescription medications at least once. Tuna contained methylmercury, and prenatal exposure has been associated with numerous developmental deficits, while staggering levels of polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, were found in farmed salmon. Metal food cans are lined with plastic that contains bisphenol A, which leaches from the lining in cans into food. In Downey, California, 8 pollutants found in drinking water exceeded the health guidelines set by federal and state agencies. Prenatal medical professionals should discourage the consumption of dangerous foods, beverages, and medications that women commonly report consuming during pregnancy, the researchers said. Well, scientists from Appalachian State University and the Dole Food Company and North Carolina State University are some of the first to find in a human trial that following exercise, polyphenols enter the body in elevated levels via the colon that polyphenolic metabolism is ramped up for 14 hours after exercise. In the joint study, long-distance runners were given either a soy protein complex infused with polyphenols from blueberries and green tea, or just a protein complex. The runners ingested the soy protein complex for 2 weeks, and also during 3 days of running for 2.5 hours each day. Each dose was equivalent of consuming 3 cups of blueberries and just over a cup of brewed green tea. The study provided further proof that a healthy diet and exercise work together to enhance human health. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, what are the nutritional benefits of eating kale? We know kale is high in fiber, antioxidants, carotenoids such as lutein, which is good for your eyes. It has 45 flavonoids, phytonutrients such as quercetin, which combats inflammation, and sulforaphane, which fights cancer. It also acts as an anti-inflammatory and has twice the vitamin K as other cruciferous vegetables. Kale also contains tryptophan, calcium, magnesium, potassium, iron, and protein. Fresh kale has more vitamin C than an orange, and the calcium in kale is more bioavailable than the calcium in milk. In addition, kale contains alpha-linoleic acid, an omega-3 fatty acid that combats inflammation, and 1 cup serving of kale contains more than 200% of vitamin A in the form of beta-carotene.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today on Health and Longevity is Dr. Lisa Berengu, Ph.D., She is the creator and author of Real Smart Baby Food. Lisa is an experienced mother, food professional, food enthusiast, and advocate for healthy living. She previously created and found the Green Baby Chef, a homemade baby food company offering personal chef services for infants, as well as private cooking instruction and baby food making workshops. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in nutrition, food and agriculture from Cornell University, and has a Master of Science and PhD in food science from North Carolina State University. As a food scientist who previously worked with 3 different Fortune 500 companies, she knows firsthand what processed food truly is. Through her homemade baby food service company, Lisa developed an efficient system to create 3 months' worth of baby food within 3 hours, all safely made for her clients in their kitchen, conveniently packaged and compactly stored in their freezer. After realizing how many patients wanted to learn how to use the system and for themselves, she integrated the system into a comprehensive baby food plan and resource that has become her new book, Real Smart Baby Food. Well, Dr. Berengu, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, first of all, you know, this show is all on health and longevity, and really a health and longevity diet starts right there when the infant starts eating real food, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think that I feel strongly that the initial stages of diet introduction and getting the palate prepared for a lifetime of foods really begins at the stages of being an infant. At the first stage of exposure, the first months of exposure, they're critical. And I think that studies have shown that there are windows of opportunity to really get that palate ready for good flavors, ready for fresh whole foods. And if you capture that opportunity to introduce the baby to healthy foods, they'll love them and they'll want to consume them through a lifetime.
I used to joke to people because we talk a lot about anti-aging and so forth. And when my daughter was just an infant, I would tell people that she's on an anti-aging diet right then. And people, it opens up a discussion to really talk about the importance of starting that really healthy diet right there at the beginning. And that's so important. Well, tell us about what are some of the essential tools that parents need in order to make their own baby food.
Well, the tools that parents need are actually very basic. They're typically tools that you'll already have in your kitchen. Now, a lot of parents hesitate to make baby food or don't even think about the possibility of making it because they assume that it's a complex procedure because, you know, food companies have these specialized little jars of food that they label very carefully as baby food. And many parents just assume, you know, that's where I have to get it. It's sterile and I'm going to get it in the jar because the food company told me that's the safe way to do it. But really, it's very simple to make baby food at home. The most complicated tool you need is a blender or a food processor. Everything else is in your kitchen. I mean, baby foods are really just fresh whole foods that you have maybe gently cooked or not cooked at all, and you've pureed them. The only thing special that a baby needs in their food is to have the texture be in a form that they can swallow easily because they can't chew, other than avoiding preservatives and salts and sugars that they can't digest yet. It's just pure, healthy, whole foods that have been pureed. So if you have a blender or food processor, you pretty much can get the job done at home.
Great. And now where do you recommend parents buy maybe some of their supplies when they begin the task of making their own food?
These are standard supplies you can buy at your regular store that you shop at for kitchen gear. You can buy them online. We're talking things like blenders, cutting boards, knives, you know, prep bowls. Those are the main places, main things that you need. Also, at my website, realsmartbabyfood.com, I do sell some specialized gear. You know, some premium blenders. The Vitamix is a premium blender that really can puree like no other machine can. You can get perfect purees for baby with that. That's available through my website, as well as freezer trays. You know, my method of making baby food is to make a lot of it in a short period of time and then freeze it into small portions, and that's how you can maintain a large supply of it and have it on hand conveniently. And I sell freezer trays that are made for that, for freezing purees into small portions that are perfectly sized for baby.
Tell us a little bit about your own background and how you got interested in doing this and creating this whole plan.
Sure. Well, you know, my studies in college led me into the fields of nutrition and food science. It was just what I was really interested in. And upon graduating, you know, I went through the regular process everybody does of looking for their job, and I just kind of ended up going onto a path of working in the food industry. I did that for a few years, and when I became pregnant with my first child, once I had him, I actually decided to stay home with him full time. But when I became pregnant, I became even much more concerned with health and nutrition and what was I going to be feeding my baby. And I wanted, you know, everything to be perfect for him. And I really was analyzing everything that I knew and learned and seen throughout my time working in the food industry where foods are highly processed. And I quickly realized I would not be feeding him that food. I wanted to make it from scratch myself. And so I started making homemade baby food for him at home, and I learned a lot along the way as I, you know, purchased different produce and understood how to find the right kind of produce. You know, when you buy apples, you don't feed him green apples because they're too tart and he won't like them, and started to learn, you know, how to select the right fruit for babies and vegetables. And then I continued with my second child and my third child making homemade baby food. And along the way, I had many friends in my circle that had children, babies as well, and they were trying to venture into making homemade baby food, and they could never quite wrap their heads around how to make a lot of baby food, how to have it stocked. so that they could provide a variety of things. You know, most of them would end up saying, okay, I'm going to try sweet potatoes, and then they would make, you know, 10 pounds of sweet potatoes in their freezer, and their baby would get sick of sweet potatoes, and then they'd try apples, and they weren't really saying, how do I have everything available to me and make it myself? And they'd end up giving up and giving in to jarred baby food, not really wanting to, but just feeling overwhelmed by doing it themselves at home. And so I started thinking, hey, you know, maybe there's an opportunity here for me to help parents in my local area. And so I started a food, kind of a food business, where I was offering personal chef services for infants. And I'd go into parents' homes and make the baby food for them and have it stored in their freezer. And in the process of creating this whole business plan, I knew I needed to be really efficient with my time while still giving them, you know, a lot of food so that they can be well stocked and not have to make it themselves. And I developed a system to make 3 months worth of food in 3 hours, and had so many parents say, this is just amazing. I wish I could do this myself. You know, you're inspiring me to want to do it. Can you give me the tips? And that's how I ended up turning it all into a book, so that I don't need to go into people's homes. They don't need me to come in there. They can do it themselves. I give all the details needed for them to make 3 months worth of baby food in 3 hours.
Wow, that's great. Now, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions that parents hear about making their own baby food. Maybe you can go over some of those.
Sure. You know, the most common misconception about making homemade baby food is that it's difficult. It's really one of the easiest things you can make in the kitchen. The most delicious, nutritious baby food is, like I said, simply fresh fruits and vegetables that have been pureed. Some of them might need some gentle steaming or baking before pureeing, but it's not complicated cooking whatsoever. You know, another misconception about making homemade baby food is that it takes a lot of time and that it's just not possible to do. For example, if, you know, both parents are working outside of the home, and I mean, you're exhausted enough, even if you're not working outside of the home, taking care of a child. And the truth is, it can take a lot of time if you don't have a plan beforehand going into it. So as long as you have a plan, you know what you want to accomplish, you know that you're going to make a bunch of baby food ahead of time, you put it in the freezer, then it's there and ready for you. And if you have a plan, like I, you know, one example of a great one, the one offered in my book, everything is there laid out for you. And if you follow the steps, you're good to go. It's not time consuming at all. And especially for the reward that you're getting for just putting in 3 1-hour blocks of time.
Well, you know, there's a lot of baby food products out there for convenience and so forth. But why? Let's go over some of the reasons why parents really should choose to make their own baby food.
Well, the simplest, easiest explanation is really homemade baby food is by far much more nutritious and definitely more flavorful than commercially processed baby food. And the reason for that is that commercially processed baby foods are subject to very high temperature and pressure treatments. Mm-hmm. And they're subject to those treatments because that's how baby food can really be sterilized and be sure to last on the shelf in a grocery store or in your pantry for literally years. Mm-hmm. It's to the benefit of the food company to do that, and it's also just telling you it's sterile food, which is a little bit of a scare tactic. I mean, your baby doesn't have to have sterile food. You don't want it to be contaminated, but you don't have to kill everything that's on it.
Right.
And when you do those high pressure and temperature treatments, it destroys the nutrients in the food. And what companies do is they say, well, we know we've destroyed the nutrients, but we're going to add some back in. And those nutrients they add back in aren't the same as the nutrients that are naturally present. They're not going to be biologically available. It's just always better to consume, you know, nutrients in their natural form in general. But other than the nutrient loss and really inferiority of these processed foods compared to homemade foods, there is a dramatic flavor difference. And any parent could see this themselves. You know, if they wanted to do a trial, they could just, you know, take a jar of commercially processed baby pea puree and take a bite of that compared to some peas that they just puree in a blender. It is a completely different flavor. And I personally don't like jarred peas or canned peas, but I love the flavor of fresh peas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different situation when you're offering those two different things to your baby. You know, if you give them these jarred foods that are overly processed and really blandly flavored because you've killed off the nutrients, you've just totally demolished the flavor, they start to really learn to have a preference for these bland foods. They don't learn to know what those bright, fresh flavors are of whole foods, and you miss an opportunity for them to know it at an early stage and really like it. And it's guaranteed if you feed them these healthy foods that are in their more natural state, that aren't highly processed, they'll get those flavors very early on, and they'll develop a preference for them and continue to want to eat them throughout their lifetime, throughout their childhood.
Well, with today's economy and everyone's trying to save money and in their expenses and so forth, let's talk about some of the monetary savings of making your own baby food.
Absolutely. Certainly, making baby food at home is going to save any parent money, for sure. Even if you compare looking at organic foods, which are always more expensive, you can take an organic brand jarred baby food on the market for stage one, which is, you know, the first puree you would give your baby. One of those little jars for one serving can range anywhere between 79 cents to 99 cents, depending upon what store you pick it up at. And for the same amount, we'll compare this, for example, sweet pea puree. For the same amount of sweet pea puree that you can prepare at home, that 79 to 99 cents turns into 27 cents.
Wow.
So it's a big difference. And for me, the cost savings is the least important part. The nutrition is the most.
Right.
But I'm sure you're going to benefit financially if you choose to make your baby food at home.
What's some advice that you can give to parents about those picky eaters?
You know, almost every parent is going to experience some level of pickiness amongst their babies and toddlers and children throughout their life. And it's important to know that all babies are going to exhibit some level of this pickiness. And it's really essential to introduce foods repeatedly. And studies have shown as many as 10 times might be necessary before acceptability will develop. So, you know, if you give your baby pureed broccoli and they just really turn their nose up at it and spit it out directly, don't just walk away and say, my baby hates broccoli. Yeah, they may not like it right then, and you just have to repeatedly try. Another technique is that I like to use for babies is sometimes something like broccoli is pretty strongly flavored. In a way to get baby to accept it at a faster rate is to dilute the strong flavor by using a little natural sweetness. So, for example, I would combine a little bit of banana puree with the broccoli puree, and not too much so that you completely cover up the broccoli flavor, but enough just to dilute it enough for baby to accept it. And that can get them to get used to that flavor. So that's an important technique to use, and I have used it with all three of my children, and they are all phenomenal eaters.
Great. Let's talk about the different aspects of your book. Give a summary of what the book all has in it.
Sure. Well, Real Smart Baby Food, and the subtitle is How to Make 3 months' Worth of Delicious, Nutritious Baby Food in 3 one-hour blocks of time. So that's really the distinguishing characteristic of the book compared to any other baby food book on the market, is a strategy to produce 3 months' worth of food in 3 one-hour blocks of time. The book itself really is a comprehensive manual. It's a very resourceful book for food and nutrition for your babies throughout the course of their introduction of solid foods well into their childhood years. It gives you a good basis for nutrition education and understanding how to feed them in general. But I have over 70 recipes of whole food purees, and my book is designed to have you make individual purees and freeze those. So you freeze them individually. So rather than having complicated recipes like broccoli, cauliflower, casserole, you know, that you make up and freeze, it's make broccoli, you can make cauliflower, you can make peaches, and all these are stored individually. And, you know, I have the strategy is to make all these foods individually, and you'll get 3 months' worth of them in your freezer in 3 one-hour blocks of time. And then after you have all that food in the freezer, I show the reader how to combine those different individual whole foods to build really tasty meals. So, for example, one tasty meal is peachy strawberry salad. And you would be going into your freezer and pulling out one frozen cube of peaches, one frozen cube of strawberries, and one frozen cube of spinach. They allow them to thaw together, and they have peachy strawberry salad for baby. So I go through and I have lists of flavor compatibility charts to show which individual foods combine well together. And I also have lists of suggested meal combinations, including a 3-month menu of meals. If somebody wanted to literally not have to think about it at all, they could just look at this 3-month menu of meals and how to use each one of those frozen puree cubes that they've made for the first 3 months of baby's solid food introduction.
Great. Well, Lisa, the book is Real Smart Baby Food, How to Make 3 months Worth of Delicious, Nutritious Baby Food in 3-hour Blocks of Time. And if people want to know more about the book and your work, and you have some product there, too, to help put these in the freezer, right?
Yes. You know, a lot of more detailed information can be found easily at my website, realsmartbabyfood.com, where there the book can be purchased, as well as baby food supplies. And one of the most popular supplies or products purchased on my website is the Real Smart Essentials Kit. And basically, that's a kit you can purchase with the book. And it contains freezer trays and a freezer storage basket. And those are the main things that you probably don't have in your kitchen already that facilitate making the 3 months' worth of baby food in 3 one-hour blocks of time. Because you make these purees and then you have to freeze them in individual cube-sized shapes. That's what gets these small portions frozen for baby. And then it all stores in the basket. But all those things are available at my website.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being with us on the program today. And I wish you the best of success as you actually get babies on a diet that contributes to their health and longevity.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for today's program. Remember to visit our website to listen to all our programs at healthandlongevityradio.com. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.